This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Peter Pry, who's the head of MPACT America. Electromagnetic pulse is what EMP stands for. Dr. Pry is with us now to explain exactly what that is and what steps are being taken or should be taken in order to prepare for an attack from an electromagnetic pulse. And Dr. Pry, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me here today.
For some who watch science fiction shows or even shows related to government, like 24, they've seen an EMP as part of a fictionalized plot. But what is it really?
Well, the EMP that you've seen on 24 is actually real. There actually are such weapons, non-nuclear EMP weapons. Now, they tend to be – they're tactical in their effects, and you could take out a building or a small localized area with those non-nuclear EMP-type weapons. But the commissions on which I served for the Congress, the EMP Commission and the Strategic Posture Commission, and before that when I worked for the CIA, what we were concerned about there is nuclear EMP attack. If you detonate a nuclear weapon, any kind of a nuclear weapon, at high altitude, an altitude above 20 miles into the atmosphere, and, you know, it generates a super energetic radio wave that we call an electromagnetic pulse. It's an electromagnetic shock wave, basically, which will destroy all the electronics for vast regions on the surface of the Earth. If you detonated a nuclear weapon, say, at 200 miles in altitude above the center of the United States, it would fry all the electronics across the entire continental United States. Now, the only thing that the EMP and its immediate effect is harmless to people, but with this single nuclear weapon, it's actually a high-tech means of killing millions of people the old-fashioned way. Because everything depends upon electricity. The preservation of food and the production of food, water purification as well as pumping water, the transportation networks, communications, in order to run a modern society. The EMP Commission estimated that given our current state of vulnerability, the vulnerability of our current critical civilian infrastructures, that 12 months after an EMP event were terrorists or rogue states to make such an attack upon the United States, 12 months after such an event, two-thirds of the American people would probably die.
Dr. Pry, how difficult is it to develop something like this, and what intelligence do we have about who might be pursuing this?
It's as hard to develop as it is to build an atomic weapon. And it isn't that hard to build an atomic weapon anymore, unfortunately. It's far easier than it was for the United States back in the Manhattan Project days. It only took – people are talking about how difficult it is, you know, for Iran to build an atomic weapon. But people should cast their minds back to the World War II era and remember that when we weren't even sure about the theoretical physics involved in building atomic weapons, we built two atomic weapons of completely different designs in just 3 years. And that was starting from scratch. And that was using technology of the 1940s era and before people knew that atomic weapons would even work. Countries like Iran and North Korea are not starting where we did back in the 1940s. They have vast amounts of information that's been available. They get help they can hire help from Russia, from out-of-work nuclear weapons scientists and engineers. And they have modern technology, which is much more efficient, much better to help the cause of acquiring nuclear weapons.
So can we assume that if a rogue state like Iran is developing nukes, that if they were to deploy one, this EMP would be part of the delivery as well?
I don't think we even have to assume that. The commission found there are in open-source military writings in Iranian military journals where they explicitly describe using nuclear weapons to make an EMP attack against the United States. Many of us who have worked in this think this is the primary reason that North Korea and Iran have developed nuclear weapons, not so they can blast a city, but so that they could do an EMP attack. If you were to blast a city, let's just think about that for a moment. Okay, you'd kill probably a couple hundred thousand Americans, but would it stop the United States from being a military superpower? It would not. We would be able to use nuclear forensics to collect bomb debris. We would have intact all of our intelligence services so we could find out who delivered the bomb. It would, in effect, guarantee your own eventual destruction, and we would turn whichever country did that into a plate of glass. But if you use that same single nuclear weapon to do an EMP attack against the United States, the effects would be so catastrophic, it could literally end us as a civilization. It's really the only nuclear option available to terrorists or rogue states, or Russia and China, that could basically win the war on terrorism for them with a single nuclear weapon.
Two quick questions before we let you go that have popped up in conversation. First of all, why does it take so long to recover from an EMP?
Well, there may be no recovery for an EMP if you're not prepared. The reason recovery could take so long, if you are able to recover at all, is because all of the electronics that have been damaged have to be replaced or repaired. And under circumstances where the whole country is affected, you'd be sort of in a race against time about, well, do people start starving to death before you're able to recover the infrastructures? Does society hold together long enough so that you can recover those infrastructures, or do things deteriorate into chaos? And to give you an idea of what the aftermath of an EMP attack might be like in terms of these societal effects, is to look at Hurricane Katrina, the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, when there was no electric power, the transportation systems didn't work, there was no food, and what it was like in New Orleans at the time. I mean, it was anarchy. Police were taken out, we're having to deal with snipers and street gangs and that sort of thing. Imagine such a phenomena happening across the entire country. So you'd basically be in a race against time.
How do we prepare? We've led all up to the threat and obviously the destructive chaos that could emanate from this. What do you do to prevent it?
Well, ultimately, this is really a good news story. The EMP Commission report was a good news story because it had a plan on how to protect our critical civilian infrastructures. It's not that hard to do. As a matter of fact, the commission found that since everything is dependent upon electricity, protecting the electric grid is the most important thing. If you can survive and recover the electric grid for an EMP, you can bring back the other infrastructures as well. And it could cost as little as $100 million to mitigate the worst consequences of a geomagnetic EMP or a nuclear EMP by protecting about 300 of the big transformers that are absolutely critical to the operation of our electric grid. If you spend more money, you're even better protected. But a first sort of down payment towards security, $100 million, and you don't have to worry about losing two-thirds of Americans. We would be able to survive and recover from that.
Thank you very much for explaining it to us today. Very important.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Dr. Peter Pry is president of Impact America. Website is Impact America, EMPACTAmerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.